Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hello and welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Always nice to have you along. And today, we begin a new month together. Thanks for making Faith Radio a regular part of your listening behavior and habits. Appreciate that. We like to spend some time each month, at some point along the month, just focusing a bit on prayer. It's something that we don't want to just talk about, but actually do. And we have a wonderful tool on our website that will allow you to be engaged in, be engaged with us in prayer. It's called Prayer Works. You find it on our website at faithradionet.com, faithradionet.com. And you go there on the right side, you'll see a little word that says, a little line says Prayer Works. You click on that, and it will bring you to a page where you can leave a prayer request. You can add a prayer request, something that you're concerned about, praying about. And it's also an opportunity for you to pray for other requests. In fact, when you pray for those requests, then you can click on the little link, and it will send an email reminder to those that posted that request that someone's been praying for them. It's just a great way for us as the body of Christ to encourage one another in prayer. And we also will invite you as well today to call us and share a prayer request with us. We have our Faith line available 24 hours a day at 877-93-FAITH, and you press 2 to get in the Faith line, and you can leave your prayer request there, and we do check that regularly and pray together as a staff. And thank you for making prayer part of your faith life experience. We want to talk about prayer today, and especially about a fine book that will be some encouragement to us when it comes to prayer. The book is called No Holds Barred, Wrestling with God in Prayer. You and I maybe wrestle a little bit as kids or when with our brothers and sisters, and maybe you do that with your grandkids, but wrestling with God in prayer, well, we knew that happened once in the Old Testament, right? We remember Isaac, and he got a bad hip out of the deal. So how do we wrestle with God in prayer? We'll find out about it today. And welcome back to our program, Dr. Reverend Mark D. Roberts, who's a pastor, author, a retreat leader, speaker, and blogger. He's now senior director and scholar in residence for Lady Lodge. It's a ministry in the hill country of Texas, near San Antonio. Mark has written a number of books, and he also writes a devotional for the high calling of our daily work, and thought we'd maybe just start with that. Mark, welcome to the broadcast, first of all.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be back with you.
Appreciate you making a little time, and we could talk about drought in Texas, because you're in the middle of a pretty tough stretch, aren't you?
Well, we are. It's actually almost the worst drought on record in Texas, and we've had no rain. Now, ironically, a few days ago, I was right in the middle of Hurricane Irene in New York, and so was there. New York just had the rainiest month they have ever had, ever, in New York, and Texas is dry as a bone and desperately hot. So it's strange times, and talk about prayer. We're praying for rain in Texas, and wouldn't mind if anybody else wants to join us.
Yeah, and of course the problem with flying is that you can't carry liquids on the air on the plane anymore. Always, you could have brought a little back, maybe. But.
Well, yeah, not no. That. Yes, not no only 3 ounces. That's not going to help.
Not going to help a lot. So, all right. Well, and maybe we'll talk about praying big too as we get into that. But I thought, you know, with Labor Day coming up. Lots of talk about business. Obviously, there's a lot of concern about business, people that aren't employed or underemployed, and, you know, difficult economic times. You write a devotional for the high calling of our daily work. Take a couple of minutes to maybe just encourage us as followers of Christ today to look at our work perhaps a little differently as we head into Labor Day.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it is something that that I'm very much committed to in the organization that I'm a part of. The high calling that you mentioned, there's a website, and folks can can visit that website. The easiest way, if they remember, just to Google on High Calling, and we come up at the top, and they can find it. The High Calling website has all kinds of resources for Christians who are seeking to live out their faith in the context of work, and work defined broadly. Certainly the work we do for compensation, whether we're teachers or you know, carpenters or executives, whatever it is, but also work in the broader sense of what we're doing in our lives, including family. And it's basically the things we're doing when we're not sleeping or you know, not celebrating the Sabbath. That's work. So the website is about, our tagline is Everyday Conversations About Work, Life, and God, and we're really trying to pull those things together. In the context of that website, then I write a daily devotional. The plan is to work through the whole scripture, bit by bit by bit. At the rate I'm going, it's really literally a 15-year plan, because I don't do just a chapter a day or something. I often go more slowly. But really, the point of that, and we call what I do the daily reflections. The point of the daily reflections is to get people to let scripture help inform their life of prayer. And so I'll take a chunk of scripture and share sometimes personal thoughts, sometimes some more a little more interpretation of the text, and then some questions for reflection, a prayer. So it's like many devotional guides, but the whole point is to let scripture guide our prayer life. And you know, I should mention that if folks are interested, we actually email out that daily reflection. We've got now like 16,000 people get it every morning, and it's free, and there's no obligation, and you're not going to get hit with spam wanting you to buy prescription drugs or anything. But if people are interested in that, they can go to the High Calling website, and they can find how they can get that email every morning. And it's been a great joy for me, because one of really my life's purposes is not only to teach the scripture, but really to help people know God better and relate more deeply to Him through the Scripture. So it's not just accumulating theological truth, however important that is, but it's really the Scripture's given to us that we might know God deeply and intimately. And so I'm thrilled to be able to be doing that with the High Calling website and the daily reflections.
You can check it out again, do a little search for the High Calling, find it on the website, and find out more about that daily opportunity to get some reflections. You know, you said your passion to help us know God better, and I think we know, I guess maybe intuitively, most of us as believers, if we've followed the Christian walk at all, know that to know God better, part of that involves prayer, and yet most of us would admit that it's probably not where we'd like it to be. I don't know if anybody says, you know, my prayer life is great, or I'm praying too much. But talk a little bit about No Holds Barred, and I guess how you approached another book on prayer. There are many books on prayer.
No shortage of books on prayer. In fact, when I first thought about writing that, I did think, gosh, you know, I don't know that the world needs another book on prayer, and because there's so many classics. But the approach that I take is a little different than most books on prayer. And that I really, in one sense, No Holds Barred is a Bible study in the Psalms. Now, not all of them, but of the Psalms. Of course, the Psalms are divinely inspired prayers and are God's gift to us, I think, to help teach us how to pray. And so No Holds Barred is a book that looks at the prayers of the Psalms and says, what does this teach us about prayer? And especially, what does this teach us about prayer in modes that we might not be as familiar with? Is there more to prayer than what we experience? And I think one of the things we see in the Psalms is that there is. There's a breadth of expressions that sometimes we overlook. And then there's depth there, a tremendous personal and emotional depth. And the Psalms help us then go more broadly and more deeply in our relationship with God. One of my good friends, Ben Patterson, who's written on prayer, you know, and people have often said about Ben, well, Ben's really into prayer. And he says, you know, I'm not into prayer. I'm into God. And that prayer is not the end, of course. It's the means of a deeper and truer and more transformative relationship with the Lord.
You know, the picture on the cover, of course, is worth a lot just looking at the book. But it's obviously about the wrestling. But maybe define what we mean by no holds barred and how that relates to the way we often approach prayer.
Well, the phrase no holds barred, and sometimes people think it's no holes, as in, you know, an empty place. And I suppose I could write that book too. But no holds barred comes out of wrestling. It's a wrestling term. And what it means is that anything goes. So, you know, if you watch Olympic wrestling, that's carefully regulated, and there are certain holds, a wrestling hold. You can't grab in certain places. You can't grab in certain ways. You can't choke somebody, for example. Well, no holds barred means that sort of all the rules are off, and there's freedom. So why use that kind of, you know, metaphor to speak about prayer? Well, I think partly, and we'll talk more about this, but I think the Psalms and much of Scripture invites us into that kind of prayer. But I also was just very aware from my own life and from my pastoral work with people that many times our prayer life with God is really very narrow in the expressions that we use. We might come to God with brief praise or thanks, maybe with a little confession, and then mostly we ask God for things. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that. That's absolutely great. We ought to do it and do more of it, though I think there's more we can learn about it. But there are actually other expressions of prayer in the Psalms that are not the ones we're as familiar with or as comfortable with. And so what I'm trying to do in the book is to help people discover new freedom. But again, not because I think we should be free, but because that's what is modeled for us in the divinely inspired prayers of the Scripture, and in the Psalms in particular.
Well, in just a moment, we're going to talk more with Mark D. Roberts, Pastor Mark D. Roberts, pastor, author, retreat leader, and blogger, and he's written several books. The one we're talking about today is called No Holds Barred, Wrestling with God in Prayer. And we want to find out why we hold back or why we talk to God with reticence, and how we can become more comfortable, maybe with that uncomfortable way. We'll do that in just a moment. Also, I'd love to invite you to join us in the conversation as well. Some thoughts on prayer. Feel free to just queue up, and we'll have you a part of the discussion as well. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number. It's 877-933-2484. It's a day of praise and prayer on Faith Radio. This is Connecting Faith. More in a moment with Mark D. Roberts. Seventeen past the hour, you're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Today we're talking prayer. This is a day of praise and prayer here on Faith Radio. You can go to our website at any time, day or night, and share a prayer request. Pray for others as well. It's a great resource, faithradionet.com, and I go to the link for Prayer Works, and I check that out. In fact, at the end of the program today, we'll review just a few of those and invite my guest, Reverend Mark D. Roberts, to pray as we review some of those needs. But we're talking today about one of the books that Mark has written. He's written several, but one we're focusing on today is called No Holds Barred, Wrestling with God in Prayer. And Mark, I do want to talk about, you know, why we hold back when it comes to prayer. Is that just because that's the way we've learned it? Or, I mean, it seems like there is a right time to be humble and contrite coming before the living God.
Yes. Well, I think you've nailed part of it. It is what we've learned and what has been modeled for us. I mean, I grew up in a family that prayed and in a church that prayed, and that's great. I mean, that's a great gift. At the same time, the kinds of prayer that were offered and that I was exposed to were in a fairly narrow range. Now, what does that mean? I'll give you an example, and this is, of course, one of the most challenging in the Psalms. Is there's a lot of complaining in the Psalms. Scholars will use the technical language of lament, lamentation. But the truth is, if you really sit down and say, I'm going to read a bunch of Psalms today, pretty soon you're going to get into complaining. And you're going to get into complaining that often just feels almost inappropriate. I mean, if it weren't in the inspired prayers of the Bible, you'd say, well, you know, David shouldn't be talking that way to God. You know, where's his faith? Where's his humility? There are prayers that where in so many words, the author of the Psalms is saying, God, get up. Where are you? What's wrong with you? And there's a freedom there that I think a lot of us, and I certainly put myself in this category, when things are not going well in my life, I think sometimes I edit out what I really want to say to God. What I really want to say to God is, how in the world is this happening? Where are you? What, why have you left me in this? Or, you know, and yet then there's a part of me that says, I don't know if it's okay to talk to God like this, for goodness sake. Well, I think the Psalms tell us it is okay. Now, not that being the only mode ever. If all you ever do is complain to God, then you're missing some of the point too. But there's a freedom to be authentic. And if I'm feeling weighed down and deeply burdened and deeply concerned, the Psalms would encourage me to be honest and say, Lord, I've just about had it. And where are you? And so that's just one example of the kind of prayers that I think we often sort of choke them back because we don't want to be inappropriate. And I think what we do is we take the fact that you also mentioned, that it is absolutely right to come before God humbly on our knees, confessing, you know, and that's absolutely right. At the same time, the Psalms themselves would teach us that sometimes we come before God with a boldness and an openness that's really quite astounding. And, you know, that is modeled for us in writings that came even before Christ came and did his work. Because in light of that, we have even greater freedom. I mean, I think of the passage from Hebrews 4 that speaks of Christ as our great high priest and says, let us then approach, you know, the throne of grace with confidence or boldness is maybe even a little better translation, that we can come before God's very throne, you know, the King of Kings, and with full confidence to say everything we need to say because of what Christ has done for us. And I mean, what an amazing, amazing invitation that is.
Hmm. But Mark, it seems like many of us, you know, in life in general, we're probably more likely to be penalized for saying what we really think. So, you know, does it work the same way if we tell God what we really think? Is there a penalty?
Good point. You know, I hadn't thought of that, actually, but I think you're absolutely right. And appropriately so, you know, in many, many cases in life, we should not say whatever is on our mind, and it would be inappropriate to do so. And again, I think in the range of kinds of prayer, there should be the freedom to be honest. Now, of course, you know, the irony in all this is, of course, God knows what's in our hearts and minds anyway. So if I'm really upset with God because I've been praying, and he appears not to have been acting, and I'm really bugged, if I come before God and talk as if that's not true, I mean, the silly thing is God knows what's in my heart anyway. You know, he knows. There's nothing that's secret to him. And so God is not going to be surprised or shocked or you know, amazed by what I actually formulate in prayer. And I think, in fact, God is going to be honored when I bring who I really am to him, when I'm authentic before him. And so if I'm sad, I will let him know that I'm sad. And when I'm excited, I'll be excited. And when I'm disappointed in him, I'll communicate that disappointment. And I don't think there is a penalty. I actually think there's a greater penalty when we don't enjoy the diversity of communication that we can have with God. Not that God penalizes us, but we penalize ourselves. We lose the opportunity to know God more deeply, and we lose the possibility of opening our hearts more widely to him and his grace when we hold back.
All right, maybe we need to back up a bit and sort of talking about holding back. Psalm 42, verse 1, familiar words, as the deer pants for the streams of water, So my soul pants for you, O God. I mean, if we were honest, there are many times in our life when we're not panting for God. I mean, we're not like the deer panting. So if we're in that position, then how do we, what does the Psalms have to teach us there?
Well, I think the example of the Psalms would say, okay, be honest. And there are times, certainly, and I think it's true not just for me, but for virtually every Christian I've ever known. You know, there are times we don't want to pray. There are times we feel, we don't feel that thirst. Our soul has a deep thirst for God, but sometimes we don't feel it. And there have been many times when I have begun my prayer saying, Lord, you know, I really don't pretty much want to be doing this. And again, that could seem kind of shocking, except God knows where my heart is. And so to be honest and say, Lord, I really don't even want to pray today. So I need your help because I'd like to want to pray today, but at the moment I don't want to. And so that's a starting point. And that's a good place where I think that exemplifies what I was talking about. That if I can say to God, man, I'm not like the deer today. I'm like someone who's completely filled up and feels no thirst at all. That's just where I am. But Lord, I know I need you. So help me. Help me to get in touch with the thirst that is real. Increase my desire for you. Help me get out of this place of apathy when it comes to you. And it's in the process then of acknowledging who I am and where I am that my heart can begin to open to a new work of God.
And does that, as a result of working through these Psalms and writing the book, and I mean, it's been, you know, several years since it's been written, but has that made a difference in your prayer life, say, 5 years ago to today? What's different?
Yeah, well, just one point of difference is that I am less fearful of being honest with God. And I say fearful because I think I was once afraid that if I really tell God what I think and feel, that somehow God will be displeased and there'll be negative consequences. And I've come to believe that God would greatly prefer my honesty to putting on a show for him. And so there are times when I have really claimed the truth of the Psalms and their example when I have needed to speak with the Lord. I mean, there was a time a few months ago when I was deeply, deeply disappointed in the Lord, something I had been praying just very faithfully for, and it just completely fell apart. And, it felt like God just completely was gone and absent from the scene. Now, I know that's not the case. My head knows that's not the case. And I know God is wise, and I know God is loving. But at the moment, I was deeply, deeply disappointed. I think there's a time in my life I wouldn't have known what to do with that disappointment. But because of what I see modeled in the Psalms, I actually got up in the middle of the night because I couldn't sleep and went and found a place where I could be alone. And I just laid it all out before the Lord, poured out my heart to him. And I know the situation didn't get changed in the way I would have wanted to, but my heart was open to God and his grace such that I was able for the first time to begin to see things a little differently. And in this case, I finally come to a great place of peace that, in fact, no surprise, God was wise and was doing the best thing. But I don't know if I would have been able to come to that place of confidence if I hadn't first laid out all of my disappointment and all of my anger toward the Lord. And that opened up my heart for a transforming work.
So otherwise, that can fester, and it certainly soon becomes sin, puts a block between us and God.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And you know, I think any mature believer has gone through periods of deep disappointment in God. You know, praying for a loved one who's sick and the loved one dies, or praying for somebody who doesn't know the Lord and that person just seems to be going further and further away. I mean, I've sat with a lot of parents of teenagers and young adults and heard their anguish over things that their children are doing. And, you know, to not be able to share that with God, I mean, what a sad relationship that would be. But again, both the example of the Psalms and then the whole theology of Scripture is it's focused in Christ and his work says, you know, we can come before God and lay our hearts before him. And man, that's that is the beginning of a new season of transformation.
Coming back in just a couple of minutes and talk some more with Reverend Mark D. Roberts, who's a pastor, author, and a speaker, retreat leader. The book we're referencing is called No Holds Barred, Wrestling with God in Prayer. And we'll take your calls as we talk more about prayer. I'm going to go through kind of the book chapter by chapter coming up here in a couple minutes. 877-933-2484 is the number. It's Connecting Faith, 1232, and it's always such a privilege to be able to get together with you each day and connect with guests and have insights and encouragement from a variety of issues. Today we're talking about prayer, and not just about prayer in general, but about some of those wrestling prayers. No Holds Barred is the book we're referencing. It's called Wrestling with God in Prayer. And my guest is Mark D. Roberts. Mark is a pastor and author. He was pastor for a number of years at Irvine Presbyterian Church in California, and he's now the director and scholar in residence for Laity Lodge. It's in the hill country of Texas near San Antonio. And we're talking today about the prayer. And the book has a variety of chapters, kind of looking at the Psalms as some examples. And chapters like Pray Like Elephants and Prayer of Desperation and Doubt and Prayer of Vengeance. We'll get to that. But let's jump in with that. What does it mean to pray like elephants?
Yeah, that's not what one would perhaps first think of when talking about prayer. But I mean, I'm using the saying about elephants, that elephants never forget. And that leads into a look at the Psalms that are Psalms of remembrance. And there are a lot of them. As you go through the Psalms, in this particular book, I draw from Psalm 105 and Psalm 106, but there are many of the Psalms that will have passages that basically rehearse the history of Israel or particular events out of that history and almost just retell the story in a prayer-like formula. And so I've begun to reflect, what does that teach us about how we ought to pray? Is there any advantage in our prayer life if we do that, if we model what we see in the Psalms? And so I think there is. First off, I think there's something really important about sort of thinking through our own lives and our own experiences in a personal way and remembering what God has done. When I get into a place of doubt or fear, uncertainty about, is God going to be there for me? Is God going to care for me? One of the things that brings me to the point of trusting God is to remember God's faithfulness in the past. And when I actually do that in prayer, when I say, Lord, you did this in my life, and you did this, and you did this, and I remember when you did this, and I remember when I felt so alone, and you were there. And as I speak those memories out loud to God in prayer, my faith is renewed and encouraged. I think there's also a remembering that's not so much on that personal level as the broader remembering of God's great work in history and that which is revealed in Scripture. And there's something wonderful about saying in prayer what God has done, and most of all in Christ, and saying, you were born into our world, and you walked in our world and lived and experienced the things we do, and then you died for us and rose. And just to say that, Laity Lodge was founded by Howard Butt, who is known especially in the Texas area, both because of his association with a very large grocery company here, but also because he's really been a great man of faith and a leader of faith. And Howard's now 84, and I'll have the privilege of still meeting with him and praying with him. And when he prays, he starts praying. A lot of times he will take several minutes just to talk about the things that God has done in Christ, and he'll go through that. And well, what does that do? It does all kinds of things. I mean, one is it just reminds us of God's faithfulness. It also, for those moments, takes me out of the center of the thing. It isn't about me, although God cares deeply for me. We're really talking about God's great work in the world and God's salvation and His grace and His mercy and what He's done in Christ. And so when I remember God's mighty works, then my whole orientation to life and prayer and even my own experiences of grace is altered and stretched. And so I think the prayers of remembrance help us to really keep in our hearts the great things that God has done and is doing, and just the wonder of the fact that we get to be participants in that work.
I was thinking, Mark, as kids, and you know, if we have young kids, they often, you know, we hear the phrase, "What you promised."
Yeah.
You know, we say, you know, so can we say, "God, you promised"? It says here in your word, you know, some of us, I guess, have maybe too much. Intellectual training or something, say, well, you know, the context was different, and, you know. So yeah. How about coming to God and say, "God, you promised"?
Well, there are certainly passages in Scripture and in the Psalms that speak to God that way. I mean, I think absolutely. And partly there's another example of our prayers being shaped by the content of Scripture. I mean, I think it's absolutely okay to pray. I mean, we're to approach God like children and to pray naturally and in our own words and thoughts. But I also think there's something invaluable about letting our prayers be shaped by the way God has made himself known in Scripture. And so part of that, of course, are promises. And Lord, you promised this, and I'm asking you on the basis of this promise to do this thing, and I'm counting on you. I think that's one way of approaching God, and that's remembering. That's part of the remembering. That of course, remembering his promises.
Yeah, let's jump ahead, sort of the opposite, I guess, side of that. The Psalms are way too full, it seems to us, of those prayers of vengeance. And,
yeah.
You know, we'd like to just sort of skip over those, say, well, that's, you know, that doesn't seem very, very godly, as you talked about right at the outset.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with those prayers of vengeance?
Well, they are hard, and you say, yeah, what are we to do there? Now, I think there's some things we ought not to do. One is to assume that because they're prayers of vengeance, that gives us permission to seek revenge ourselves on people. You know, that has been done. It's been done by Christians. It's even done by some people of faith in the world today. It's one thing altogether to pray and ask God to do something. It's another thing to do it myself. In fact, one of the things about the prayers of vengeance is that's really releasing the issue. If I pray, Lord, I want you to get my enemy, implicitly I'm saying, and this isn't mine to do. This is yours to do. So there's a release of that. But I think, again, so I guess part of what I'm saying is the prayers of vengeance do not imply that then we can take vengeance and that's okay. And that would be a misreading. On the other hand, I think, again, I take the prayers of vengeance as examples of honest prayer. And there are times when if people deeply wound us, when the truth is we wish they'd get their due. And now, if we're good Christian people, we may say, well, gee, I can't really say that. But if that's really what's in our heart, I think the example of the psalm would be to begin there. Now, that's not the end point. When I pray, if I were to pray for vengeance, that's not the end of the process. What that's doing is opening my heart in an honest way to the Lord. And in a sense, I'm giving God permission to deal with me at those points. And I include in the book an illustration of a time in my ministry many years ago now when a brother in Christ deeply hurt me about something. It was one of the hardest things in my entire ministry, and I could not get over the thing. I tried to forgive him up one side, down the other, asked for God's help. I couldn't get free of it. And one day I was actually driving past his house, and I realized that what I really wanted was for him to feel some of the pain he'd put on me. I felt very ashamed of that because that seems so unchristian. And in a sense, you know, Jesus models forgiveness, and who am I? But it was real. And so I actually just pulled over my car and I said, okay, Lord, I feel terrible about this, but this is what I really wish would happen to him. And I told God the truth about what I wanted and how I wanted this guy to feel the pain that he had put on me. I don't know that God ever did that with him, and yet what I do know is that finally God was able to get to some of the hurt within me. And finally, he was able to deal with me and not only bring some healing to the hurt I had, but give me a new freedom to really forgive that the man who had hurt me at a much, much deeper place. And it's because I was willing to say, Lord, this is it. What I really want is for you to get him. And, man, if that weren't in the Psalms, you'd say, yeah, that's bad teaching, Pastor. You got to knock that off. Now, again, we have to hold that in context, not only in the Psalms, but in the larger context of God's revelation. Because the ultimate reality is that Christ himself took, you know, the ultimate vengeance and took it for us. And he did indeed call us and teach us to be people who forgive. And so we, even as we're asking God to give people what they deserve, if you will, we're doing that with the knowledge that Christ has fundamentally changed reality and is calling us to a new way of being. And so we're not denying the call to forgive at all. What we're doing is we're saying, God, this is where I am today. This is what I want. This is what's real. Now help me and bring me to the place where with authenticity I can really want what you want and want your ways. And that's not all that's in the book on that, but I think it's a way of taking seriously those Psalms without misusing them and treating them as some sort of justification for my becoming a vengeful person.
Pastor Mark D. Roberts is my guest today, and in a moment I want to talk more about some of the seeming maybe contradictions in terms of the prayers and the Psalms. There's time to be still and know that I'm God. There's other times to be singing and shouting and raising hands, so we'll get Mark's perspective on that. Pastor, author, retreat leader, the book we're referencing is called No Holds Barred, Wrestling with God in Prayer. And we welcome you to the conversation as well, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Also, at the end of the program here in about 10 minutes, just take some time to pray for those prayer requests that are posted on PrayerWorks on our website, faithradionet.com. So you want to check that out. You can join with us in prayer here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. You're listening to Connecting Faith. It's 12:45. Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Faith. Reverend Mark D. Roberts is my guest today. We're visiting a book that he wrote a couple of years back called No Holds, I guess it was about 5 years ago now, No Holds Barred, Wrestling with God in Prayer. He's written several and serves as a senior director and scholar in residence for Laity Lodge. It's in the Hill Country of Texas, down near San Antonio. Mark, in the Psalms, we read various expressions of prayer. And some are, to be still, be quiet, the prayers of silence. Others are, shout and clap. So how do we deal with some of those maybe contradictions?
And in fact, one of my favorite passages, it actually covers two Psalms, but the end of Psalm 46 is that classic be still and know that I am God text. And then two verses later, the beginning of Psalm 47, it says, clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with loud songs of joy. And you think, well, that's something. How do we do that? And of course, the answer is, well, you don't do that all at once. You can't be still and know God is God and at the same time clap and shout. But one of the things that I think that Psalms model for us is then a breadth of expression that moves, in this case, from stillness and silence before God, from a posture of listening and quietness and reverence, all the way to the other extreme, which is just cutting loose, clapping and shouting and dancing and singing. The funny thing is, in my Christian experience, for most of my life, I didn't do either of those things. I didn't put much time into stillness and quietness and prayer. And I grew up as a good Presbyterian, and we would stand, and that's about all. There's none of this clapping and shouting stuff. And I don't think every Christian has to you know, experience all of those necessarily all the time. But I think we have modeled for us in the Psalms an invitation to communicate with God more broadly. And in times of celebrating, to let loose and not feel like we've got to hold back, to discover new freedom, to truly celebrate. You know, the funny thing is, I know a lot of men especially who say, you know, oh, I can't do that. I can't celebrate like that. I can't clap or lift my hands or something like that. But then you go to a football game and they go absolutely berserk. You think, well, maybe a little of that excitement could be brought over into worship. You know, at the same time, there are certainly times in our lives when we need to be quiet before God and to let our hearts be still and to be open to what God might want to do in us and through us and what God might want to communicate to us through the Spirit. And we can't get at that unless we're quiet. So, again, I think that's another dimension of sort of breadth of communication that we are encouraged in the Psalms, and also deep. You know, if you're going to celebrate, don't hold back. And yet at the same time, know that there are times when you need to get alone, you need to get quiet.
Let's talk about confession. What can the Psalms teach us about that, the dreaded encounter, as you call it?
Yeah. Well, the big thing is do it. I tell a story in the book of being in a prayer meeting that I was actually leading, and I said something about, you know, now let's take some time to confess our sins, and one of the other leaders of the group immediately interrupted me and prayed this prayer about, oh, Lord, we're so glad you've forgiven all our sins, and we don't have to dwell on our sins. It just completely kind of took the rug out from under what I had encouraged people to do. I mean, the Psalms would say there are times when we need to lay out our sin before God. Psalm 51 would be the most obvious and well-known of those texts. And not just in a casual way or, the summary, oh, Lord, I've sinned, forgive me. But sometimes we need to get in and actually confess. You know, First John backs that up and saying if we confess our sins, plural, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And so sometimes we need to get out and just lay our sins out before God. One of the things I have done periodically in my life is to take an expanded time, maybe a couple hours, get away from interruptions and all, and actually confess and ask the Lord to show me some things that I need to lay before Him. And inevitably, there will be sin in my life that will emerge that I just was completely unaware of, stuff I was taking for granted. Maybe just in relationships with my colleagues and people I was not treating well or not thinking well of. And so why confess? Well, partly because that opens up us to the experience of forgiveness, but also through that confession, then we have the potential of being touched again by God and being transformed and not sinning, to put it bluntly. Whereas if we had never confessed it, never brought it to mind, we may just continue on in that behavior that's been hurtful to others and, more importantly, dishonoring to God.
You know, when we have discussions about prayer, as we've had a great time today talking about a number of various maybe ways to pray and approaches, but we always maybe sometimes dance around the issue that lurking behind, there's a question about, you know, do we really believe? Do we doubt? I mean, do we wonder, does prayer really make a difference?
Yeah.
Do any good? Talk about the David's doubts and the psalmist's doubts.
Well, again, that's, you know, you find that in perhaps in a quite shocking way in the Psalms where David or the other psalm writers will not only pour out their desire for God, but we'll begin to doubt. Psalm 77 is one of the most obvious of those. In that psalm, the psalmist says, will the Lord spurn forever and never be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Now, there's a theological answer to that, which is no. God has not done all those things. But in that moment, the psalm writer was feeling desperate and was wondering, God, have you given up entirely? And so, again, what we have modeled is the freedom to lay that out. And so in times of doubt, rather than coming before God and pretending, we come before God and tell the truth. Lord, I don't even know if you're there to hear my prayer today. There's a part of me that just isn't sure you're not only that you're listening, but there's anybody to listen. And that's where I'm in today. Lord, I need some help here because at the moment this seems kind of silly. Well, again, why is that important? Partly because it's honest, it's genuine, but partly because when we pray that way, then we're in opening up those parts of ourselves for God's help. And then he can begin to really work on us and to help us grow in our faith and confidence in him.
Let's talk about getting, I mean, what we're really hoping is that through this book and this discussion of prayer and understanding the Psalms as a good example, that we break out of some ruts because, it's one thing to have routines, another thing to be stuck in a rut.
Yeah, and we all get there. I think every one of us as Christians, and the Psalms are one way. Of course, there are many ways of getting out of ruts, and ultimately that's a work of God's Spirit in our hearts. But the Psalms give us one way of praying differently and praying afresh and stretching to pray in modes or expressions that are new to us. And I think when we allow the Psalms to do that for us, there can be some real transformation.
My guest is Pastor Mark D. Roberts, who is a retreat leader. He serves as Senior Director and Scholar in Residence for Laity Lodge. It's a multifaceted ministry in the Hill Country of Texas. Served for many years as Senior Pastor at Irvine Presbyterian Church, written several books, and the one we're talking about today, No Holds Barred, Wrestling with God in Prayer. And we want to talk a little bit about, not just talk about prayer, but actually spend a little time praying. And we've been mentioning that we have a wonderful tool on our website at faithradionet.com called Prayer Works. And Mark, I know that you've had an opportunity to actually have a look at that.
Yeah, I love what you're doing there. What a great use of the Internet. You know, sometimes we hear of all the nasty things that happen with the Internet, and those are real and those are a problem. But what you're providing is a place for people to share what's on their heart, and for others to pray along with them, and even to have some communication if that's what seems appropriate. And yet it still allows people to maintain confidentiality. I just think that's a great tool, and I love it that you're doing it. So, amen and do it more, and I hope more of your listeners begin to avail themselves of the site. It's also really easy to use. You just, you get to it, and it's real. You can read the prayers that are there, or you can submit a prayer. It's so easy. It's very user-friendly. So way to go. I think this is great.
And it's a wonderful encouragement, too. If you've posted a prayer request there, to know that when someone prays for it, they can click on a little link, which will just send a little ping to someone's email and say, I prayed for you, which seems like how we as the body of Christ can do a little more encouraging one another. So as you've looked over the site, there are a number of issues there, from marriage restoration, just praying for our country, a young 6-month-old son has some challenges, divorce issues. I mean, lots of big needs. Mark, would you just take a few minutes here and lead us in prayer and maybe just encourage others that, needs that haven't been posted here, but, whether it's rain in Texas or whatever it might be, there are a lot of challenges before us.
Yeah. Sure. Well, then let's pray. And Lord, thanks for this opportunity to talk about prayer, but thanks especially for the chance to pray. And thanks for Neil and for this program and the emphasis on prayer and the encouragement. Thanks for this great website. I'm just encouraged by the creativity and the opportunity that it gives. And Lord, as I just have scanned this site, I do want to lift up some of these concerns, praying for our country in its really desperate need for you. Here we have great drought in Texas, and there are others right in our country who are still flooded out completely, especially in Vermont and northern New York. Be with them. Be with the personal needs represented on this in terms of marriage, and young family needing a home, and Lord, for all of that and all that's on our hearts, thank you, as we have talked today, for the freedom we have to come before you and to lay out exactly what our need is and not to be afraid of being honest. Thank you for the opportunity, invitation you give to come before you with boldness and confidence. And it's in that, because of Christ, that we do, and we offer these prayers in his name. Amen.
Amen. Mark, so good to connect with you again. I really appreciate your writings and your encouragement to us today. And look forward to the next year, working on new projects. We're just writing the daily devotional still. So.
Yes, that takes a good chunk of my time, so that's where I'm really investing now.
You can find out more. It's markdroberts.com, right?
Yes, sir.
At markdroberts.com, you can find out more about Mark and his writings, and also check out the Higher Calling as well for our daily work. Coming up tomorrow, speaking of work, we're going to talk about why business matters to God. Looking forward to visiting with Jeff Van Duzer. We talked a little bit about God and workplace, so business as mission. We'll get to that tomorrow on Connecting Faith. And coming up at 3 this afternoon, Susie Larson will continue our focus on prayer today, taking your calls and talking about how God's provided and worked in your life. Pastor Ted Cunningham will join Susie this afternoon and live the promise. That's at 3 o'clock. All that's coming up here on Faith Radio, helping you connect faith to life every day. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today, and have a great afternoon. And a reminder, you can go to our website, faithradionet.com. You can hear a podcast of today's program by clicking on the Connecting Faith page. Or if you want to share a prayer request, you can go to the PrayerWorks icon there as well. It's PrayerWorks at faithradionet.com. Thanks.